And we're going to turn this morning, as I said, just for a short while today to the scriptures. And I want us to go to the reading that was read to us earlier on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. To begin with, anyway. You know, as I said at the beginning of our service, you know, I themed the whole thing about joy because Christmas is a time of joy. And this is the message that the angels announced to the shepherds in the field. In Luke 2 verse 8 it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.'" Glad tidings of great joy. Why was this glad tidings, good news? You know the word, we have the word that we use in church quite frequently, the word gospel. Now the word gospel literally means good news. In actual fact, the word gospel has, it's, the Romans understood the word gospel when they talked about the gospel, especially because Mark, you must understand, Mark's gospel was written to the Romans, and the first few verses of Mark's gospel says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, and the Romans understood the word gospel to mean good news, but more specifically, it was good news about a baby. You know, when a couple have a baby, they want to share the good news that they're having a child. You know, and this is what the gospel is. It's about the good news. Now, in church, and this is just a sideline, we've tended to hijack the word gospel to mean the message about being born again, and that's only part of the gospel. The gospel really means good news. The good news about Jesus. Yes, it's good news that Jesus loves us. It's good news that Jesus died for us. It's good news that, you know, Jesus wants us to be born again, and that's all part of the gospel. But it's not just about giving our hearts and lives to Jesus. There's more involved in the good news. You know, the good news is greater than just one small part of it. You know, and this, these good tidings, this good news, this gospel which the angels proclaim says, it's a gospel of joy. For behold, I bring you good tidings, not just of joy, but of great joy, which is to all people. And it's in the message that the angels announced to the shepherds that night in Bethlehem was that there is born today in the city of David, in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The good news was to these shepherds that the Messiah had come. The Christ had come. You know, the one that they've waited 400 years of prophetic utterances, well, actually longer than that, the Because God promised a Savior right back from when the day, from the days of Adam. The prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. You know, through Isaiah, Micah, all those Old Testament prophets that prophesied his coming, that foretold his coming. Today, the angels announced, this is a day of good news. Why? Because those prophecies are coming to pass. God's word is coming to pass. This is a day of good tidings. And these tidings are of great joy. And they said, this is the sign to you. This is the, do you know what these angels were telling them, exactly what Isaiah had said. You know, this will be the sign that the virgin shall conceive. This will be the sign to you. You will find this baby, this Messiah, this Christ, not wrapped up with pretty Christmas paper as these presents are on the table. Not wrapped up in shiny foil like the Easter egg. But this little baby was wrapped up in little cloths. This little baby wasn't in the king's palace. You know this. You know, when you think about it, you know, those wise men, they journeyed to Jerusalem. They went to the place where they thought it would be. Because you'd expect a king to be born in the palace. You'd expect this king, this Savior Christ, to be born in better surroundings than just a stable. He didn't even have a bed to lie in. He was put in a manger, which is an animal trough, feeding trough. But these angels said that this was a day of good news. This was a day where, that's a day of great joy. Because this baby's been born. You know, a baby always brings joy. Whenever there's a new baby, it brings joy to the family. I know I've said it in the past when we've been doing our studies, but when you look at when a mom is pregnant and she's carrying the baby, you know, everything that she does and talks about is about that baby. They begin to prepare the home. You know, get the cot built. You know, buy the pushchair. You know, get all the equipment in if it's, they haven't got it already. They begin to prepare for this new arrival. You know, and when the baby comes, it brings joy to the family. It brings joy to the mother. And although I've never experienced it myself, I'm told, and we're often told that, you know, when the baby's in the mother's arms, that all the hurt and the pain of childbirth is immediately forgotten for the joy that she's holding her newborn baby. You know, so a baby always brings joy. So this was a time of great joy. Do not be afraid, the angel said, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And do you know what happened? Immediately after that message was proclaimed, the sky lit up as though it was daytime. In there, in the middle of the night, it was as bright as day. Why? Because this angel was joined with a host of heavenly angels. You know, the glory of the Lord was so bright. You know, they delivered this message, or they They came praising God. They sang, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You know what these shepherds did? They listened to this message that the angels brought, and then they decided amongst themselves, we've got to go and search for this little baby. We've got to go and see this good news that the angels have proclaimed to us. And I like that here in verse 15. It says, come, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And there they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They found it exactly as the angels had said. You know, they came and they worshipped Jesus. Now, the essence of a good part of the service with the sketch and with the puppet was about giving a gift, about a present. You know, what's the best present? Well, it's already been said. You know, the best present that anybody can have is Jesus. God so loved the world. That's what it says on the screen. No, it doesn't. Debbie's put the wrong one on. There's one. I looked and saw the red background. I thought, oh, she's got the Christmas thing on it. But that's not. That's the one that says joy. It says on the screen that we had on at the beginning of the service. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave a gift to the earth. And as we've said, it didn't come wrapped in pretty paper. It came wrapped in swaddling cloths. God's gift. God so loved the world that he gave. You know, Romans 6:23 tells us this, the wages of sin is death. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life. John, writing in his letter, tells us that this is eternal life, that we might have him, that we might know him. Knowing Jesus is eternal life. Having Jesus is eternal life. So when we have Jesus, we have God's best gift. You know, one of the songs we sing, and although we haven't sung it today, but we sing it quite frequently, talks about God emptying heaven, the darling of heaven, it says in the song. The darling of heaven. God gave us his best. So we should want to give God our best. Let's turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Let's just look at the account about the wise men. You know, whenever I turn to this passage, I want to make it clear that we see what the Bible says. Because on a lot of Christmassy things, it's misrepresented. A lot of the Christmas cards and a lot of the scenes that we get at Christmas time. You know, in the first chapter, verse, I know we're going to chapter 2, but in the first chapter, verse 18, it says this. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. This is what the Bible says, or how the Bible says the birth of Jesus was. Now in chapter 2, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, In the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. Now these wise men, first thing I want you to know is it does not say that there were three of them. Now it's been assumed there were three because there were three gifts they brought. But it doesn't say there were three wise men. And in all reality, there were probably many more. Because they wouldn't have just traveled, three of them, alone from where they came from. So there probably would have been many more. They would have come as a group of them, coming to worship this new king. Coming to worship this new born king. Well, newly born king. And so they go to Herod, and they say to Herod, you know, where is the Christ to be born? Now they would have, these wise men, they saw the star appear in the sky. And as that star appeared in the sky, they would have started, they would have known that something special was happening. Now, a lot of people say, well, this is you hear talk about the Christmas star, or you hear talk about, they say it might have been a comet that was passing by. Why can't this just be a star that God put in the sky? Why does it have to be something that's in the sky right now? Why does it have to be some sort of scientific explanation for it? God put a star in the sky to announce the birth of his Savior. The birth of his son. To announce the coming of the giving of his gift. But they saw this star in the sky. They would have got in. They would have studied. They thought, why? What does this star mean? And as they would have examined and they would have asked questions, you know, they would have come to this conclusion that there's a new king being born. And they begin their journey. And they came to Jerusalem. Now this wasn't a journey that just took a couple of days. This was a journey that would have took a few weeks. Maybe months to travel. And they go to the king, they go to Herod and they say, King, you know, where's the Christ to be born? And the king calls his chief priest, he calls the scribes together, and they inquire from the scriptures where this baby is to be born. And they come up with this conclusion that the baby is to be born in Bethlehem, or the area around Bethlehem. Then Herod says, well, he says, go and search for this child. Now I want you to go and search for him. And says, when you found him, tell him, come and tell me, because I want to worship him as well. You know, that's the last thing Herod wanted to do. You know that, I know that. He didn't want to worship Jesus at all. But these wise men, and I want to just pick up in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. Because it says here, it says, what happened in verse 9, it says, when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they'd seen back in the east went before them. And it came and it stood over where the young child was. And listen to this, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Why? Because this was good news. This was a time of great joy for them. Why? Because they, all their months of searching, they'd found the place that they were searching for. They'd found the baby Jesus. You know, Jesus told a parable that when a man finds a pearl of great price, you know, he does everything he can to obtain that pearl. If it means selling all his possessions just so he could get that one pearl. And when he's got it, he rejoices. Jesus told many parables. He told a parable about the woman that lost a coin, the farmer that lost his sheep. So then when they find it, there's rejoicing. Why? Because they found what they were looking for. How many of you have lost something? And you've searched for it, and you haven't got a clue where it is, and you keep looking. Then all of a sudden, you find it. You get filled with that joy that you found what you was looking for. And these wise men had found what they were looking for. And they saw the star and rejoiced with great joy. It says, they came, listen to this in verse 11, it says, when they had come into the house. It does not say they'd come into the stable. They come into the house. And they, and notice it's now not, it's not referring now to Jesus as a baby, calling him a young child. So when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Their months of searching for this little child that brought them to the place where Jesus was, brought them to his home, his house, or the place where he was staying anyway. Look at what it says. It says, when they found him, they fell down and worshipped him. You know, the very first gift that Jesus received was worship. It wasn't the gold, it wasn't the frankincense, it was worship. The very first gift he received. What else did they give him? They gave him gold. Gold fit for a king. You know, the Bible calls Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Gold. I don't know how much gold. But I'm guessing it was a lot. Gold. Fit for a king. Because he is. Jesus is king. Frankincense. You know, frankincense was what was burnt in the temple. It's the incense that was burned before God. You know, it was symbolic of the deity of Jesus. In other words, it showed us that Jesus is God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's, calling the Word is talking about Jesus, because it goes on and says in verse 14 of John's Gospel chapter 1, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, he is God. That's why they gave him frankincense. Then they gave him myrrh. Myrrh was a perfume, and which was used to prepare bodies for burial. If you read in the scriptures, in the accounts after Jesus is crucified, and as they prepare, the women are preparing to put him in the tomb, they say they prepared him spices of myrrh mixed with aloes. Because it was symbolic of suffering and death. And as these wise men gave these gifts, these three gifts of gold, of frankincense, of myrrh, they were making a statement to, a statement of their faith, of their worship to God, that yes, he's God, and he should be worshipped. He's a king, and we should bow down before him. You know, and we acknowledge that he is going to suffer and die. Why? Because he's the that's what the message the angel said to the shepherds. He's the Saviour. He needed to die to save us. But what about us this morning, this Christmas? What can we give Jesus? Well, as I looked at those three gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh, there's three things I think we can give Jesus. As we look at the myrrh, it speaks of his suffering and his death. What can we give him? Well, suffering and death talks about the laying down of one's life. You know, this year we should give him our lives. You know, Paul writes these words in the New Testament. He says, it's no longer I who... He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. You know, we should lay down our lives. We should give our lives to Jesus. Give our lives to him. You know, Jesus taught his disciples that they should take up the cross and follow him. In other words, they lay down their lives. We should lay down our lives for him. Give our lives to him. Why frankincense? Well, frankincense was symbolic of the deity of Jesus. Frankincense was burnt in the temple, and the fragrance of that incense ascended to the Father. You know, that talks to us of our worship. Just what the shepherds gave, what the wise men gave. They gave their worship. You know, Jesus wants our worship. He deserves our worship. He deserves the best that we can give. And it's not about just saying, well, you know, God, I'll squeeze you into a tiny little part of my day, or I'll do this. God wants our whole day. Our whole life should be a life of worship. Our whole life should be a life of serving God. That doesn't mean we're singing and praising 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But we should have that attitude of worship where we respect and we reverence God. And finally, gold. That talks about gold for a king. But we can give God, perhaps not our gold, but we can serve him with our substance, everything we've got. You know, we brought our offering to him this morning. And trust we've presented it to him. Because that's what the Bible says. In that reading there, it says, first thing they presented to Jesus was themselves. They gave worship. Then they opened their treasures and they gave him gifts. They gave him the gold. They gave him the frankincense. They gave him the myrrh. You know, we... Today, this Christmas, we've come to worship. We've come to acknowledge Jesus. No, we give gifts to one another. Christmas morning, we'll open gifts. We'll give gifts. We'll receive gifts. But let's, just as we saw in that little sketch earlier on, and the little video on the screen, you know, the best present we can have, the best present we can receive is Jesus. And the best thing we can give to Jesus is ourselves, our lives, our worship. So let's make Christmas special this year. And let's give him a really special gift. Now, it doesn't have to be wrapped up in paper. It doesn't have to be presented in a formal, but we can just honor him, give him the best. Give him ourselves, our lives. Because he's worthy. Amen.